Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's consideration is recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with verse 15, and I'll read several other verses to provide a context. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. This is our text. Fellow believers in Christ, a recent study claims that the average U.S. Facebook user has 214 friends. How many Facebook friends do you have? Okay, now for the important question. How many friends do you have? How many real friends? I'm not saying that friends on Facebook aren't friends, but anyone can be liked on Facebook. In Paul's own kind of Facebook experience, as in ours, there were faithful friends, but there were also trolls and lurkers. I don't know about this category, deserters. When Paul wrote this letter that we have before us today, alone, in prison, you can tell from the letter the kind of relationships that he had, because he mentions them by name. He mentions the trolls. He mentions the friends and the deserters. And these are the categories, then, that encourage us to think about who Timothy was, and more importantly, who we are and what our relationship to God is. In Paul's letter to the Romans, for example, just to go outside of this context, in chapter 16, just read it over for yourself, long list of friends. He didn't have Facebook, but he had many face-to-face friends that he had met. And in today's prison letter, you have to go before and after, he mentions his Timothy's grandmother as a friend of his. Name was Lois, and then Timothy's mother, Eunice, who was a friend. He mentions the one sole friend that he has with him in prison. That's Luke. And in the very same word here, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, he uses that same word writing to Timothy. He says, be diligent to come and visit me, because you get this sense reading this letter that he is alone. He is feeling the pain of being deserted by many others. But he refers to a Tychicus who he had sent to Ephesus, and then he mentions the entire household of Onesiphorus. Now, these are not the kinds of names of your friends, but they represent real people who were Paul's friends in this world. If we had lived then, if you'd been alive in that day, would Paul have considered you his friend? How about the more important question? Would we have been considered Christ's friend? In fact, that is the question, because God hasn't invited us onto his Facebook. He has invited us to a face-to-face relationship with him through his word. Are we his friends? Do we like him or do we love him? Does he like us or does he love us? Or are we the faithless or fair-weather friends, deserters, if you will? In chapter 2 of Paul's second letter to Timothy, he uses that metaphor of a dedicated soldier to describe what he wants Timothy to be. And really, I suppose, what all followers of Christ ought to be, to describe the work of faithful ministers, because this is ultimately about the ministry here. And whether or not one is in the public ministry, we all read this as overhearers of the gospel. What is said to Paul certainly applies to all of us as followers of Christ. So if there are dedicated soldiers, there certainly are deserters. And he describes them. Later on in this same epistle, he refers to Demas, who, quote, in love with this present world, has deserted me. And then there were, right after that, maybe not as bad as Demas, there were Crescens and Titus. Could that be me someday? Deserting Christ? Let him who thinks he stands beware lest he fall, Paul says in one of his epistles. Or are we potential trolls? As in chapter 4, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, he says. Or could we become like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who I mentioned here right in the immediate context following what had just been said? They had wandered away from the truth, engaging in godless chatter, becoming more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Now, consider that those were referred to right after this text today, because that was a backdrop against which Timothy was to see his own teaching, not like that. But they are like people you know. And that is my old Adam. Judas was Jesus' chosen disciple. What happened to him? What happened to Hymenaeus and Philetus and Demas? And what about Timothy, and what about us? Paul considered Timothy one of the faithful. And by faith in Christ, of course, we too enjoy that status. Paul says about Timothy in verse 5 that, I am reminded of your sincere faith. But here's the interesting thing. From Paul's letter, you get the sense that Timothy, when it came to carrying out his ministry, was a kind of, what, lurker. Could it be that we are only lukewarm when it comes to Christ? Remember how the lukewarm at heart are condemned in the book of Revelation? Are we lurkers in the kingdom of Christ? Tim had the gift of God because of the laying on of his hands, but just check out those opening verses. You get this sense that there's something about Timothy. Paul says, fan into flame that gift of God. He apparently isn't fanning it into flame. In verse 8, Paul writes that he should not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord and should share in the suffering for the gospel. And he mentions that word, don't be ashamed, several times. And then he repeats it in chapter 2. You then, my child, do you call a full minister of Christ my child? Well, perhaps he sees him in an endearing sense, but does he mean something else, that he needs to become mature? You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ and share in the suffering. He's not sharing in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There will always be false teachers, trolls like Hymenaeus and Philetus, deserters like Demas. But Paul calls Timothy as a minister of Christ out of lurking, and he calls us as well to faithful, orthodox confession of Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed of the one who is our Lord. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The scriptures point the condemning finger of the law at all of us and reveal to us all our hopeless condition by nature. But this is why the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh, to to become our brother, to redeem us, to call us to be faithful followers, that we might have hope in the message of the cross, in the declaration that we are justified, forgiven, that the blood of Christ has removed all of our sins. Is that something to be ashamed of? That is our very salvation. That is the message that someday will allow us to see God face to face. Christ came not merely to like us. He loved us by shedding his blood. And as our friend, he went to the cross, but he rose again on the third day. These messages of law and gospel must be distinguished. And that's what Paul means in that translation, rightfully dividing the word of truth. If you don't know how to speak to yourselves the word of the law, then you will live, and I will live, as an antinomian, living the freedom that we have without realizing that we do not have freedom to do whatever we want to. At the same time, the tyranny of our conscience and the tyranny of the memory of our sins will come back and will continually remind you that you have not been forgiven, but you have. And that's the final message from Christ, that the gospel is about how Christ on the cross removed all of our sins. So what Paul wrote to Timothy applies really to all of us. And as Luther, in really famously citing this a particular last part of the verse, pointed out, whoever knows this art of dividing law and gospel, now that is the one that ought to be called a doctor of divinity. What Paul wrote to Timothy applies to all of us, this fundamental message of the cross, God's word of truth, is the reason why we shall see not images on a screen someday of friends that we love, but rather, as I stated before, the very face of God, our Lord, and our loving Savior. And that is the one to whom all ministers of the gospel are called to preach fearlessly, boldly, boldly, and gently, and for all of us to follow. Amen.